Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Hold Up. Podcast that asks the question, do we need to be talking about this? No, but we are. I am Dulce Sloan, and I am a comedian, and I am a correspondent on The Daily Show, and I do the voice of Honey Bee of the Great North on Fox. Please let me introduce my co-host, Josh Johnson.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Now, Josh, who are you? What you do?
So I'm also a comic. I do stand-up. I also write at The Daily Show. And I'm also online on the internet. You can find me on the things at Josh Johnson Comedy.
I'm excited about today's subject.
Yeah, I can tell.
Thank you so much. Today's subject is movies versus TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua, where do you fall on this movies versus TV series?
I mean, I'm movies all day. All right? I'm movies on a plane. I'm movies in bed. I'm movies, you know. Even sometimes when I know I'm not going to be able to finish it, I still will turn on a movie before I get into a show.
I'm obviously TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I like TV shows because I think because I'm a trained actor, which a lot of people don't know. Also, Josh is also trained in the theater arts as well. Not so much performance, but like...
No, not performance at all. It's actually just lighting. It's not...
Lighting is very hard, though. Like, I've had to read, I can read a lighting plot, I can hang lights, I cut gels and certain gels, gobos, the whole nine, but I don't know how to, like, program a light board.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. Yeah, it can be difficult. Acting to me is still, wow, it's a lot.
It's hard, no matter what people say. So I think for me, because I am a trained actor, and people are going to say, oh, don't you mean actress? No, I don't. Just for like people will say like with comedians, oh, don't you mean comedian? Bitch, if I meant comedian, I would say comedian. I'm a comic. I like a TV series because I, like I said, as an actor, I want to see more of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So because of the movie, you establish your character and then the movie is over. So unless they do a sequel to this movie, all of the information that you have about these people, all of the storylines that you can have happening at one movie, and it's done. Like, I love the movie Karina, right? It's one of my favorite movies. But we don't know what happened when that little girl grows up. We don't know what happened if Whoopi Goldberg and Ray Liotta's character get married. I don't know. You find out no further information about them. Because once a movie is over, girl, it is over. But it's not like these, you know, Marvel movies where they got 163 of them that come out and any superhero that's ever graced the pages of a comic book is going to be thrown in an outfit and put on this here TV. There's what, like 387 Marvel movies?
Okay. I know. I'm with you. There will be 387 one day. We're not there yet. But they're
only at 256.
Yeah. But my thing is, when you talk about that specific aspect of why you think TV shows are better, I actually think that that's what ruins things for me when I watch TV is because you run a show so long that eventually a character does something that's low key out of character. So now you're like, why would they even do that? They spent four seasons being this way. And then they just switch it up, and now they're just a whole different person, you know.
Most
whereas with a movie, we know who they are, and then it's over.
This is one of those situations where I'm not trying to convince you that TV is better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say that I like a TV series. Okay. I think a good compromise for you would be a Spanish novella, like a telenovela, or a Korean drama. So like a lot of Korean dramas that I watch, it's about 16 to maybe 40 episodes. And then the show is over. Now, if it's a super, super popular series, they could bring it back, like the Boys Over Flowers series. They brought those back sometimes. But for the most part, once the show is over, the show is over. And it never comes back again. So maybe if you're looking into like wanting that movie feel of there's a the story, this part of these people's story ends, then I think that like the Korean drama or the telenovela would be the where to go. Because with the TV series, there's plenty of like there's a show called My Kind of People. I've been watching on Hulu. It was a Fox show. It's like these black people that live in like the Hamptons or something, very old black money. This girl's trying to get it. And the first season ended with a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's coming back.
Yeah.
You've never watched a movie and been like, I wonder if this movie's coming back.
Yeah. I assume every movie is just one episode long, you know? And also the thing for me that makes movies, in my opinion, superior is that TV
so
shows.
So I just told you I'm not trying to make this a competition. And you keep trying to make this a competition. Is that what this whole podcast is? Me trying to keep the peace? Are you out here going for violence?
It's some of it. It's definitely going to be an aspect.
Wow. Because I think most of the time you think that I'm the one going for violence when in this particular.
I don't think.
What you mean?
If you have to say what you mean, you know what I mean.
Don't do that. Don't do that, because you know absolutely fucking right that
the two things with movies that you don't get with TV shows is that, first of all, a movie can have a premise that you can't make a show out of.
Example?
I think that there's a movie called Coffee Town that I find very funny, that I enjoy very much. And it's just a movie about a guy who goes to the same coffee shop to work every day. And the little hierarchy he has, a little like ecosystem in there. And then they're going to shut down his coffee shop. So he tries to save it. You can't make a whole show about that.
Yeah, you can. Every episode, he's doing something different, trying to save the coffee shop.
I mean, if you got to save the coffee shop in that many different ways across seasons, it should be closed. But if it's just a film where it's like, hey, we're thinking about, you know, maybe selling this coffee shop, building something else. Like, no, I love this coffee shop. Maybe this corporate environment will disappear if I can heighten the crime rate around this coffee shop. They won't want
to
buy here, you know? And now, just that one idea.
Neighborhood. Right.
100%. And so then, that's one reason. And then the second reason is that no one can cancel your movie in the middle of the movie once the movie exists.
That's not true.
That's what happens with TV shows all the time. So you're telling me you've watched a movie on a plane that was done.
Oh, you're talking about the movie stopped in the middle.
Yeah, the movie doesn't stop in the middle. They made the movie.
Okay.
They don't always make the movie. I understand things lose funding, but I'm talking about once they put it out there, it's out there with the whole story. You don't have to hope and wait and pray that your favorite movie gets renewed every 6 months.
I hear what you're saying. So you don't like the heartache, because like I've watched shows where it's like Yasser Lester was on this show about like going back through time.
Mm-hmm.
And mid-season, the show got canceled.
Mm.
And then there was a show that Shonda Rhimes had that she was talking, where it was like called Star-Crossed. So it was like basically what happens to the Capulets and the Montagues after Romeo and Juliet die.
Yeah.
But I think that show got canceled because they open-casted. Their open-casting was so open, you couldn't even keep track of who the families were.
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
because people would just start, because like Shakespeare, people just start talking.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, well, who the fuck is this?
It would be great to go to a play with you. And you've never seen the play before, right?
Right.
But it's done in that Shakespeare style. So there's someone just walks on from the opposite stage side, you know?
Yeah.
So we've been looking at stage left this whole time. Somebody enters stage right and just starts a conversation. And then you're in the audience just going, now who the hell, what?
Listen, I have seen plenty of Shakespeare plays. I've built sets for Shakespeare plays. Mm-hmm. And, but I think you realize like when you're, but like anytime you're watching any show.
Yeah.
A character pops up and someone has to introduce that character.
What really bothers me in a TV show or movie is, like you said, you've put it perfectly. When a character enters, you have to address that character. You have to tell us who they are. But mm-hmm. It actually bothers me in my bones when the writing is so bad that they just say all that just exposition. So somebody will walk in and they'll be like, Odysseus, King of Ithaca, what are you up to today? It's like,
but that's how sometimes Shakespeare would introduce characters.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the one, hey, Shakespeare, brilliant poetry, sonnets, whatever. That thing made me want to throw my book in English class. I'm like, who talks like that? You made us suspend disbelief for this entire scene. And then you ruin it because at the end you're like, oh, hello, mother, who we're now meeting in Act 2, Scene 3.
But it's like, you'll watch a show and like even in a movie, like somebody walking, you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, I just wish that somebody would write a TV show or a movie that made it easier to watch with your parents.
Sure. Yeah.
Because if you're watching a TV show or a movie, dude, who is that? Mama, I've been watching this movie as long as you've been watching this movie. I don't know who he is either.
I think we're about to find out.
We're about to find out, Mom. I'm just trying to make sure I know what's going on. Mama, you know as much. I have as much information as you have. I don't know who the fuck this man is. Just got here. Let's see. She will pause something so fast. Well, tell me who that is. He's the one that just got here. Well, who is he? We think he might be this person. Well, we think he might be this person. Mm-hmm. If you unpause TV, we can find out who he is.
Now, I'll even throw this out there. So you know my situation. I was raised with my mom, my aunt, mm-hmm. my grandma, and my granddad.
Yeah.
Because my granddad and I were outnumbered, the TV was always under the control of the rest. You know, so we watched a lot of Lifetime Movie Network, and we watched a lot of, what was the other one? A lot of Oxygen, a little bit of Wii, and then some TV One. Right now, ooh. I'm not saying I never got control of the TV. I got to watch my cartoons and stuff, but I'm just saying for like prime time hours, hey, this
but
is.
But you watch Living Single,
right?
Like everybody else. You watch Martin like everybody else.
No, I'm completely with you. All I'm saying is,
but when those weren't on,
it was Lifetime Movie Network, and I think that some of that is what sparked some of my love for movies because the movie would sometimes be poorly written. There were no extra questions to ask. So you just had
it
to accept.
It gave you everything.
It gave you everything. And then my thing was, there was this one movie, I wish I could remember it, but I was a teenager. And everybody, when I tell you everybody in the movie look alike, it's like they were casting the lead and they just loved everybody so much. They were like, put him in the movie too. Give him a part. Put him in the movie as well, because every dude looked like the lead.
And I'm sure he was a average size, average build, and had dark hair.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of stubble.
Just a little bit to let you know that he enjoys the outdoors.
Yeah.
Might build some furniture by hand, but he has a good job.
He can handle a splinter.
He's
going to be all right with that splinter.
But what he can also do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because your last boyfriend from the city. Lifetime movies are amazing because it's always someone leaving the big city.
Yep.
And coming back home.
Lifetime and Hallmark. Because we had no help. There's five of us watching.
Right.
And all of us. Everybody in the house is like, why is she kissing him? I thought that he was... No, that one is her husband. Is it? Are you sure? And the movie is a regular style movie. So there's characters that other characters are diametrically opposed to. So then there'd be characters arguing and it looked like he's yelling at a mirror.
He's just yelling at himself in his workshop.
Yeah. And both got on what is it? Plaid shirts. Yeah, yes. Flannel. Yeah.
And jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And a boot.
Everybody looked like the Bounty Man.
Everybody looks like the Bounty Man. And all of the girls are in some type of cardigan situation. A sensible they're always wearing it. They're always cold.
Yeah.
All of these Lifetime movies are set in the fall. I've never seen a Lifetime movie in the summertime.
No.
Everybody has too much clothes on. There's too much clothes on. She's probably blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another blonde.
And everybody drink out of a mug with both hands. You've never seen anything like it. Everybody, no matter who it is, they all just cupping.
Cozy. How do you have all... Well, we're going to have a bachelorette party, but I just wanted to do something more intimate. And it's five white women under one giant blanket all watching their own movie.
Yeah, a version of the movie that they're in.
In drinking hot cocoa. Because the last time she drank, she got too wild.
And wild means drove through a Wendy's drive-thru. Like, just...
Yes. It's like, oh my God. Just... Like, those movies are not... But it's like, I think this is why people are like, okay, we have to make sure that we cater to, like, middle America. And I don't think that people understand that middle America is all of America. You don't think that there's people in New York? You don't think people in... There's not a woman in L.A.? Watching a fucking Lifetime movie, holding both of her hands on a mug? You don't think that's happening?
On a mug that says, you already know it, live, laugh, and love.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that when it comes to Lifetime shows, they have a little bit more of a replay value as shows, you know? When I look at when I look at Oxygen, Bridezillas, how could you not? I would watch Bridezillas with my mom. We didn't even know what binging was in 2002. And my mom TLC, and I would watch Bridezilla nonstop.
Because you know there's reality TV shows. We all know there's reality TV shows and it's MTV's fault. But, well, actually the first reality show I think was Cops.
I think it was Cops, but the one that really took off was Survivor.
Was Survivor before Real World?
I think it was at the same time frame, but I think Survivor was slightly before Real World.
I remember watching Big Brother House and being like, what? After the second season, I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
This makes no sense. I remember, I don't know what comic it is who has a joke about the show Naked and Afraid. He was like, I was watching that show Naked and Afraid, and all I could ask myself is, why are they naked?
Yeah, the woods is enough.
You're afraid because you're naked. But why are they naked?
Yeah. Also, you know they don't win anything?
What you mean?
Okay, so oof. Okay, I know we're going tangent after tangent, but this is important that you know. This is important that you know. That show?
Yeah.
They don't win. Like Survivor and all these other shows.
Survivor, they win money, right?
Survivor, they win money.
They win $100,000?
Naked and Afraid. No. Survivor, they'll win. I think they win $1 million now.
Oh, sidebar. You know if you win anything on television, you have to pay the taxes on it.
Hard. Yes. That's why you have Oprah to pay every tax.
And that's why Oprah gave out all the cars. People got mad because they were like, wait. You gave me a car. No one told me I was going to have to pay the taxes on this bitch.
Yeah. If you just wouldn't have aired giving me the car, if you had come back from commercial and been like, everyone in this audience is very happy, aren't they? Everybody just nodding. That would have been a very different situation. But when Oprah points to you and says, man, you have a car,
look at your seat.
The IRS is also like, yes, he has a car.
Oh, I'm sure there's some one person's job at the IRS just to watch game shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people don't really, like, if you, like, you know when you have, like, the showcase showdown on The Price is Right?
I didn't think about that.
All of those vacations, the jet skis, that living room set, all of those, like, appliance, anything, living room set, appliances, trips, boats, ATVs, fucking year supply to Tide.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay the taxes on that.
That's wild.
You bought a bunch of furniture that probably won't fit in your house.
Yeah.
You got $7,000 worth of furniture and they have to pay the taxes on $7,000 first.
Mm-hmm.
Is it California taxes? Is it the taxes at your house? Because if I came from across the country, play the Price is Right. And I live in Gary, Indiana. Who's shipping this living room set to Gary, Indiana? Me or CBS?
No, I think they have to. Or else you didn't win anything. I think the network paying for you to get the thing has to send it to you, or else you've won nothing.
You hope. Because I think when Oprah gave the cars out, then people were like, keep it. Keep it. I'm not paying the taxes. Fucking keep it. But this is your car. I didn't sign shit. I came for free tickets to a TV show taper. You gave me a car. I didn't buy this car. You gave me this car.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck this car.
I thought she bought 200 cars and they just had to pay the taxes on, which is why they were upset.
Right, because I think somebody was just like, why didn't she just pay the taxes? And it's like, well, it's not her car. I think she should have paid the taxes.
Also, it doesn't have the same ring to it. It's like, you get a car and a year's worth of taxes. You get a car and a year's worth of taxes.
Oh, this is the other thing I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
They haven't come up with any reality show, like reality movies, other than like Jackass. Right.
Oh, that's like fair. I think Jackass is the only one.
Right, we're doing so much dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
Why fit it into a season? Mm-hmm. Just give us 2 solid hours of your life to see how many times we can hit each other in the testicles.
I mean, it's more than that, though. Really is more. It's about friendship, and it's about skateboarding off roofs, and it's about getting punched by professional people that punch.
Okay. I did not know that you were a Johnny Knoxville fan.
I'm not even saying I'm a huge fan of the series. I'm just saying I see more in it than just shots to the balls.
I didn't know you were a Knoxhead. I didn't know you were a Jackass.
I mean, you're putting that on me right now. I'm saying.
So you're a Jackass, is what you said.
I've said nothing of the sort. I am saying right now that there's more to that series / movies than, you know, than just the ball shots. There's also farting in yoga studios mid-lesson. You know, there's layers.
Okay,
I think we should just be respectful of what they've built.
You couldn't even say it. You couldn't even finish it. But also, it's like some stuff shouldn't be a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they tried to have a Captain Planet live-action movie? No. No!
Definitely not a sincere one. The Don Cheadle Captain Planet is one of the greatest Captain Planets of all time.
Oh, it's hilarious.
There are a lot of movies that translate to shows, which, in my opinion, just bolsters my point. Because it's like, this movie is so good that we want to see more of it. And so I think that sometimes when you have a TV show and they do a movie version of it, it's like lackluster. It's just like, it's fine.
I think it could go both ways. Because it's like, okay, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, not that great.
Okay.
The TV show, fucking amazing.
All right.
And then like the Star Trek movies are supplements to the TV series. Where, like, you can get people to, like one of the Star Trek movies, you actually have, like, Picard meet Kirk, and they actually live, like, 100 years apart. So there's a rift in time, and they get to meet each other and all of that. So you get to see, like, your favorite, like, because it's just science fiction.
To my knowledge, and, you know, listeners can write in if I'm wrong or whatever. I'm sure they'll let me know. I feel like No, it's funny because like it's not in a bad way. Like I'm not upset or anything, but I truly am catching hell for that tomato soup episode. Like just
I hope so. Are people DMing you?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. People are DMing. Yeah. Anyway.
So you were trying to make sure you couldn't lose. And you said something so wild. People have taken the time out of their day to be like Joshua Ezekiel Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You're wild as hell, bro.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
TV has the advantage as well, along with reality TV, of having a game show, because there aren't really game show movies, you know?
Well, they tried to do that with those Choose Your Own Adventure movies. Remember Netflix trying to do that shit? But this is the thing about those Choose Your Own Adventure movies. The ending is already determined. You have two different endings,
mm-hmm.
but they're still determined. So you would try those Choose Your Own Adventure movies, and if you made a choice that it didn't have... Because the thing is, the choices can't be infinite. You can't film for every...
Yeah.
Thing. So eventually you get to a point and it'd be like, yeah, you have to make a different choice. Like, no, bitch, this was my choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're just making me choose like a choose your own adventure book. The book would be fucking 1,000 pages as opposed to the 100 because I'm on a fifth grade landing level. What the fuck?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I just feel like those are two obvious advantages, but I think that to your point about there sometimes need to be more creativity for a TV show, I think that that's what creates the margin of error.
I didn't say there needed to be more creativity for a TV show. I was saying that because movies are finite, because movies, your story has a beginning, middle, and an end.
Uh-huh.
You only have to be creative enough to tell this story.
I see.
There's a show that I like. It's a Canadian TV show called The Murdoch Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
The show's been on. They just had their 15th season. And they're hour-long shows. So for you to be able to maintain, to keep the audience interested for this long, you have to be able to create more content, create more characters. Is this character going to die off? Is this character going to come back? Is this character a nemesis? At some point, somebody needs to fall in love out of a fucking kid. That's what I'm saying. It requires more creativity to do a TV show because you have to keep creating more content.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because America doesn't do shows. If your show doesn't get canceled, you just have to keep making more show.
And that thing specifically is one of the reasons I think movies edge it out too, because the Brits... Korean dramas, novellas, I think they do it right.
The Brits don't want to work. I'm going to tell you this right now. The Brits don't want to fucking work. Luther, you gave me 4 episodes in a season. There's this Australian show, no, this show from New Zealand called Brokenwood Mysteries. Only 6 episodes in a season. Go to work.
No.
My thing is, how do you make any money? They must pay them so much money to do those episodes because...
I don't think they do, though.
I don't think they do either.
I think that's why they come here and they do movies and TV here. I think that they give you just enough that you always want more. All right? I think that they even if it makes you upset, even if you can't stand the fact that they stop at 3 or 4 or 6 episodes, you still are like, ooh, that's a good show. I wish they did more. They don't do it often enough, and when they do it, they don't give us enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying that the audience, yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying the way that they do that is perfect. And I think American TV does this thing for me where, let's say there's a movie of something and there's a TV show of something.
Right.
The TV show may very well be better than the movie, But okay. I think on a long enough timeline, the quality, which almost always happens, which is why anytime it doesn't happen, we call that show the greatest show ever made. The quality over years tends to decline, or characters start repeating stories, or like everything either becomes the same or the way that it changes people don't like. I think that on a long enough timeline, the show falling apart then makes the movie better, because you have to look at each thing as a body of work. And so when I see the body of work of a TV show that ran too long versus the body of work of maybe a movie about that same thing, I think that the show definitely has the opportunity to be greater than the movie. But if the show goes on for too long, the movie edges it out, because we can't stop. We can't act like all the seasons of a show didn't happen. And so if the later seasons of that show ruin the show, then the show is ruined. That's why people get upset.
So what's an example of a TV show that went on for too long?
I won't say it went on for too long, and I haven't watched all of it. So then I'm maybe people are going to tell me I'm wrong. But I think that clearly almost everyone I've ever talked to that watched the show is upset with the way that they ended Game of Thrones. Right?
Yes.
And if you're this mad about the way they ended Game of Thrones, it makes a new person who's not involved not want to start Game of Thrones. Because you're telling me I'm going to fall in love with something that everyone agrees they ruined.
Oh, like the TV show Lost. Like, I never saw Lost. And how angry people were about the ending of Lost. I was like, well, I'm not. Because I've seen it. I think I saw it, like, I don't know. It was like a Hulu or maybe Netflix. It was somewhere where I could, like, binge all of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm not watching this fucking show. Everybody's so mad about how it ended. There's a difference between a show ending and a show getting canceled.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
When your show get, I feel like people whose show got canceled in their shows in a different way than people whose show, like if your show gets canceled, like listen, you're starting to shoot like the sixth season of your show, and you're like, listen, this is your last. You're not getting a seventh season. You're getting canceled. You're getting canceled. You're not getting a seventh season, right? If you don't know it's coming, I think you end your show in a different way. As opposed to like people who work on the show going, we've decided that the sixth season is our last season.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like those shows that get like canceled like that, it's almost like a fuck you to the, not a fuck, it sometimes it doesn't feel like a fuck you to the audience or like the network's like, but be nice to us. Like we watched the show.
Yeah. And I think that so much of the industry is just circling around money. That people don't think about the fact that even if you are going to end something prematurely, give people time to let it end well, because you never know. This might be like TikTok is teaching us right now that things that we cast away a long time ago that we thought were old and washed up can have a resurgence. They can have a resurrection. You know what I mean? Like
what? Like that song?
Like many songs. So many songs have gone viral because of TikTok and it's resurged the careers of the people who made the song.
Like who?
Didn't that happen to Lizzo?
Because
Lizzo's, I thought that Lizzo song that popped off was a song she had actually put out a while back. And it didn't pop when she put it out, but then it blew up on TikTok way later.
Oh, that may have happened?
That's kind of what I mean. I'm not talking about like hella old bands. I'm just saying, look at Firefly. Firefly was this show that people thought ended too early. They got real upset, and it got such a rabid fan base that now that's an interested fan base you know wants the show. You won't even have to guess as an executive.
Oh, because they have like a cult following, but they're still not going to bring the show back.
But that's also what happens when you end something in a way that leaves people wanting more of it. If you just end it abruptly, people are either going to be like, why would I ever start this? Or... why would I watch the whole thing? Maybe I just stop where I want to stop. You're never going to get the analytics for a resurgence, you know?
I'll ask you this. What movie, and you can ask me the opposite way, what movie would you want to see turn into a TV show?
Some of it's already happened. So okay. What We Do in the Shadows was funny, and I think the show is funny. The
show's very funny.
I think that if Guy Ritchie's The Gentlemen could be turned into a TV show, we could see way more of the characters and the... You hated it? Or you just haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. I don't know what it is.
there's just so many layers to that movie that I want to see expanded. And I think that that would be a great TV show. If nothing else, just for me.
All right.
What about you? Is there a show that you want a movie version of? Because the one benefit I can say the other way around is that you can compress in a movie. If you mm-hmm. do it too much, you ruin the movie.
Right.
But you can compress in a movie a lot of what could have been a show and just really bottle it up and give someone a nice present. If you look at Top Gun and the new Top Gun, right? 20 years in between those two movies, but it picks up right back where it left off and it leaves us in a great
30
place.
Years.
Oh, you're right. 30 years. Yep.
That's a whole lifetime.
So do you have a show that you want to be a movie?
I don't always see the benefit of turning a TV show into a movie because you're bottling things up and you're like trying to, because it's like, what would be the benefit?
I'll give you something that will help you.
Okay.
The best time to do a movie based off a TV show is when the TV show is ended.
Okay.
That's a check-in, you know?
Arthur TV show.
Arthur TV show, Arthur movie.
Yeah, Arthur movie. Okay. So it's, let's say, DW starting kindergarten. Arthur's finally going to the fourth grade. Because Arthur's been in the third grade for 24 years.
Quite a while. He's been held back.
I mean, everyone in his life has. Baby Kate has been a baby. Kate should mm-hmm. be out of college. Like, mm-hmm.
No, I'm with you.
His parents are almost retired. But also, they're rebooting all these TV shows. The only black show they rebooted was The Game, and The Game is very good. Why are we not rebooting? Like, we rebooted Full House. We can't reboot, you know.
I think that Queen Latifah is too successful to reboot Living Single. No, I don't know if they can afford her.
They can't. They can't. Yeah. They can't.
That's the problem, is that a lot of these people from some of these famous like black sitcoms, oof, they either have gone on to make too much money and they're just not interested, or something has happened.
Family Matters. You can reboot Family Matters.
You're right. Family Matters. Really just Family Matters, now that I think about it. Everything else I can think of is like a no-go.
Because you're not rebooting Martin. You're not rebooting the Wayans brothers.
Nah.
You're not rebooting Girlfriends because Tracee Ellis Ross is too famous.
Mm-hmm.
And we already got our low-key Girlfriends reboot when they brought her friends on an episode of Blackish.
Yeah.
I know a TV show that was able to blend doing movies while still having their show. Psych. But I think because Psych was an hour-long TV show.
Yeah, it translated well.
Their movies were just an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So they made the TV show just a little bit longer. You have to like go for like commercial breaks. But Psych did a great job. Did you ever watch Psych?
Watched a little bit of Psych.
Loved that show.
So I'll throw it to you, all the listeners. We've been talking about this back and forth for quite a while. I feel like we've both made some very good points. We both know how we feel about certain shows and programs now, but we want to hear how you feel, okay? Is it TV shows for you? Is it movies? And look, far be it from me to bring down movies. If you don't think I did a good job, but you still love movies, you can let me know, all right? Lord knows I'm finding out how everybody feels about me after that tomato thing. So, like, just go ahead.
You said ketchup with tomato soup, you crazy man. It's not about, people aren't coming at you like.
I'm not offended. I understand why they're doing it. I'm just saying, I'm acknowledging that it's happening.
Wow.
So if you are looking to catch up with us, you can follow the podcast, obviously, you probably are now if you're listening to it. You can tell a friend about it. That helps even more. You can check us out on all the socials. You can find Dulce Sloan on everything as Dulce Sloan. And you can find me as Josh Johnson Comedy.
Because the thing is, the more listeners we get, then eventually we'll be able to do this live in front of an audience. And that's what everybody wants.
That's what everybody wants, is just see me snap, finally. You know, just all the way. Completely.
Snap while you're just like, I didn't ask for this. And then you just rip your shirt like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. I didn't ask for this, all right? Grilled cheese is a castle. And then I walk off.
Hot dogs are a sandwich.
Let me tell you something right now. Hot dogs is steak. And anybody... who says differently can fight me. But yeah, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to talking to you next week. I hope you have a great rest of the day into an amazing weekend.
Watch a movie, watch a TV show, call your mom.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.